Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we want to finish up our discussion on the soon return of Jesus Christ to this earth. For a number of weeks now, we've been focusing on the fact that Jesus is coming soon. And we have been considering his coming in terms of the overall plan of God, rather than focusing on individual pieces like who's the Antichrist and what is the mark of the beast. We've been looking at the overall plan of God. And our goal is to remove fear and also stir hope in God's people. When you understand that Jesus is coming to complete the plan of redemption, it gives it a whole different slant. This world is not as it should be or as it was created to be. Both mankind and the earth have been damaged by sin. It is not God's intention that the world go on forever as it is. God's aim is not to fix up this fallen world, but to transform it by removing the root problem, namely sin. See, if you are looking at all the chaos in the world right now, it's easy to think, why doesn't somebody do something? Or to feel hopeless because it doesn't seem like there's anything that we can do. Well, actually, there isn't anything we can do because the root problem has to be dealt with supernaturally. The root problem is sin. God is not interested in just putting a Band-Aid on this world. His goal is transformation. Jesus came to earth the first time, 2,000 years ago, to pay the price for sin so that it can be removed and men and women can become holy, righteous sons and daughters through faith in him. They can literally be transformed from a sinner into a holy, righteous son or daughter. Jesus will come again in the not-too-distant future to loose the entire material creation from bondage to corruption and death and make it a fit forever home for God's family. Jesus will come to complete the plan of redemption, God's plan to deliver his creation from bondage to sin, Satan, corruption, and death, so he can have his family of holy, righteous sons and daughters in a perfect world, this earth, renewed and delivered from the effects of sin and death. God's kingdom will be on earth forever, and he will dwell with his family on this earth forever. Now, the answer to this world's ills is not a political candidate or an election outcome. It is the removal of sin and the return of the rightful king to the earth he created. Now, last week, we focused on the fact that we are only passing through this life as it is. The greater and better part of our existence is ahead, first in the present heaven, and then when we return to this earth made new. In order to deal effectively with the days and months and years coming on the earth leading up to the return of Jesus, we have to have this eternal perspective. Our primary duty is not to make this world a better place, because like I said a moment ago, it really can't be done. I'm not saying you don't try to help people. I'm not saying you don't work for good. But the root problem is not poverty or injustice or war. The root problem is sin, which produces poverty, social injustice, and war. The root problem needs to be ripped out. We are here to bring knowledge of salvation through Jesus to a lost and dying world so that they can have a share in the life to come. If you eradicate somebody's poverty, but they never believe on Jesus, your eradication of their poverty was a complete waste of time. God is not interested in men having a happy life on this earth. He's interested in men coming to salvation through faith in his son. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't care about our lives and there's not provision for this life. I'm not saying that, because he does and there is. But for many Christians, their priorities are out of whack. The goal is not to make this life the best part of your existence. This part of your existence is just a few short years on this earth. And then your body grows old and dies, and you step out into eternity. And if Jesus is not your Savior and Lord, you're in a bad way. Now, none of this means that we don't help people along the way or that we don't live regular lives. Like I say, it means we keep our priorities straight. We're not all called to be Billy Graham, so I'm not saying quit your job and go stand on the street corner and pass out tracts. We're not all called to be Billy Graham, but we're all called to bring glory to God and represent Him in our little corner of the world. Let me read you a verse here. This is Colossians chapter 3. Let me start in verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Now, servants there in the Greek is literally slave. Slave, obey your master according to the flesh in all things, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That's quite an interesting verse. In the Roman Empire, Rome ruled Israel at this point in the known world. Over 50% of the people were slaves. Something like 60 million people were enslaved. And a Roman slave, there's a real good possibility you're going to be a slave the rest of your life. So you can't put your faith to getting a better job. You know, a better job would mean instead of shoveling horse manure, you're going to shovel goat manure. Be your slave. But Paul, he doesn't say anything about just believe God for a better job or a better, you know, so much of, well, I'm not going to waste time on that. We got a lot to cover. Paul exhorted these slaves to live life with the consciousness that they serve God and He will reward them for their faithfulness. The losses of this life will be rectified in the life to come. We could do whole lessons on this, but the point is we need to live with the awareness that we're only passing through this life, and the main thing we're here to do is to live our lives in a way that brings honor to God and shines His light in our corner of the world. Times are going to grow increasingly challenging as Jesus' return nears, but Scripture is clear that we have no reason to fear. God will protect and provide for His people until He comes. 1 Peter 1:5, in the context of the second coming, says we're kept by God's power through our faith. Now, I want to address one more topic this week before we bring this series to a close. One reason people fear Jesus' return is that there will be a time of wrath associated with His coming. And many Christians are afraid of that. However, Jesus' first followers knew that there would be wrath connected with the coming of the Lord, yet they were not afraid. Why is that? Because they understood wrath had nothing to do with them. So I want to spend this week talking about the fact that we Christians, all who have put faith in Christ as Savior and Lord, have been delivered from the wrath to come. Now, the Old Testament prophets wrote much about the coming of the Lord to establish His kingdom on this earth. We've said that repeatedly through this series. The book of Revelation is simply an amplification of information that had already been given through the Old Testament prophets, just more detailed. The Old Testament prophets wrote for hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth that he was coming to establish His kingdom on the earth. Now, the Old Testament prophets did not see clearly that there would be two separate comings of Jesus to this earth, separated by 2,000 years. Sometimes they unknowingly referred to both comings of the Lord in the same verse. Isaiah 9:6 is a good example. It says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and of His kingdom there'll be no end." Well, that's the first and the second coming in one verse. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's his birth in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. But it goes on to say the government will be upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Jesus never took the reign of government, the government of this world, on himself when he was here 2,000 years ago. But he will do that in his second coming, and his kingdom will last forever. Old Testament prophets frequently referred to the Lord's coming as the day of the Lord. You do not see the phrase the second coming of Jesus in the Old Testament because they didn't realize there would be two separate comings. What you see is the phrase the day of the Lord. And the Old Testament prophets who wrote about it described it as a time of wrath. Let me read this passage. I don't know how much I'll read. It's from Isaiah chapter 13. Let me start in verse 6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Now you just have to trust me. You can run your references and figure it out yourself. But the day of the Lord is a reference to the second coming of Jesus. They just didn't have that detail. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of the heavens and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, and the sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall cause her light to cease, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I'll stop it right there because we're getting near to the end of the broadcast. But I want you to notice some of the language here. It's very similar to what Jesus said in Matthew 24. We started there earlier in this series. His disciples, a few days before he went to the cross, his disciples asked him what would be the signs that his return is near. And he said, the moon won't give her light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the constellations won't give their light. And then you go over to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6, it says the very same thing. The moon doesn't give her light, stars fall from heaven, the sun will go dark. But see, that all didn't freak them out because notice it says the Lord will destroy sinners out of the earth and he will punish the wicked for their evil. This wrath has nothing to do with those who have put faith in God's revelation of his grace through the cross. So these guys weren't afraid.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.